Again, Isaiah chapter 45, and we will center our thoughts upon particularly verse 2, although we'll look at other verses as well. We continue our series on how God is using broken things. We are looking today at the broken bars. That's the wrong slide. That's my fault. That's what happens when I'm left at home with the technology, and Rachel is away, so it's back there somewhere. That's the one. Sorry, I just didn't change it, so that's my fault. Thank you very much for that. Let's read verse 2 again. Isaiah chapter 45 and the verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Just before we come to the preaching of the Word of God, can we still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer and ask for His help upon His Word. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee this morning. Lord, we need Thee. We acknowledge, O God, that this is Thy Word. This is not the imaginations of any man, but this is the Word of God. And so, Lord, we pray that the One who is the author of Thy Word would come and open the Word to our hearts. Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit, breathe and speak and pour out Your Spirit upon us today in a most remarkable way. Lord, we need Thee. Come upon us, O God, we pray. Move amongst us. Lord, that this day we might know help from heaven as we come around the Word of God. So, Lord, we pray, give us help to preach. Lord, take the stumbling, stuttering words of man. And Lord, we pray that Thy Word will live in our hearts. Give us help to hear. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been in a tight spot? In a place where you feel restricted, in a place where you feel hemmed in, you're caged in all sides by your circumstances, and it seems to you that there is no way of escape. I'm sure we all have at various times in our lives experienced such a feeling, where we feel restricted and we feel that we are in a tight spot. The children of Israel, as I'm sure you will be aware, were in many tight spots as well. Now, often, it was as a result of their own making. But when Isaiah is writing this chapter especially, he is doing so before a time that they would go into a very difficult period in their life, when they would go into bondage and exile. But when we come to Isaiah chapter 45, the prophet here is dealing not so much with them going into captivity, but now rather their release from captivity. And how that God was going to use an ungodly, a heathen man by the name of Cyrus to bring these people out of their captivity, out of their tight spot, and bring them into a time of blessing. This chapter was written many years even before Cyrus was born. And yet the Lord speaks here with great assurance and with great knowledge, because of course He is the all-knowing God, as to what He was going to do for the people, how He was going to bring them out of that tight spot that they were in. He was going to bring them back to their homeland. And in order for that to happen, there were certain things that had to take place. And most especially, as we see in verse 2, he was going to have to break the gates of brass and cut in sunder or break the bars of iron. He was going to have to remove all the obstacles and all the hindrances that hemmed the people in order to bring them out. And you see, what the Lord was saying here is that He was going to bring His people through this time of difficulty. He was going to bring them out of the tight spot that they were in. And if you read, take time to read the entire chapter of Isaiah 45, you'll see that little pronoun coming up again and again, I. I. You see, it was all about what God was going to do. This is a chapter full of the glory of God, full of the goodness of God. It's about all that the Lord was going to do, that he was able to do, and that he was about to do. In this dark time in their lives, these people needed to see what God was going to do and how God was going to bring them through. They were in a difficult time. They were in a hard time. More than anything else, they needed to hear the word of God. And dear believer, this morning, as you pass through dark times and difficult times in your life, more than anything else, you need to hear a word from God. You need to hear what God would have to say. And this was God's word to these people in this time. You know, this morning, as I look across our congregation, and I know behind many of the smiles there are times of hardness. Perhaps right now I'm in a tight spot and a hard time. But I want you to see that the Lord will break the bars of your bondage and your prison, that God will break those circumstances, work through them that seem to hold you and hem you in. And God will break those and will use it all to his glory and to his great name. The Lord was going to deliver these people. The Lord was going to bring these people out and bring them through. And dear child of God, this morning in 2021, don't doubt that the Lord is not able to do the same for you. He is a good God. He is a great God. Whatever situation you may find yourself in, hard and difficult though it be, God is still able to bring you through it and bring you out of it. As we consider these verses this morning, I want us to see, first of all, here the powerful barriers. The powerful barriers. Because in verse 1, the first few verses, we are presented with some very powerful barriers and hindrances to the people of God enjoying this liberty. These difficulties that they were in. You see, they were not only going to be in a very difficult place, things were going to be very tough and hard for them, but to their own viewpoint and to their own standpoint, it seemed that there was no way out. It seemed that they were going to be in captivity for the rest of their lives and that nothing was going to change. There were so many barriers and hurdles, so many things that had to be overcome that to them was virtually impossible. Let's look at some of these barriers that were so powerful, so inhibiting, and so overpowering and so insurmountable to their eyes. I want you to see, first of all, the first barrier here is the invincible rulers. Look at verse 1. I will loose the loins of kings. He's talking about the mighty rulers. In order for these people to be set free, the rulers of Babylon had to be overcome. Belshazzar, who would have been the ruler at that time, was a very wicked and a very arrogant man. He was filled with pride, and he was filled with himself. Not himself, he was never going to let the people go. Belshazzar, just like every other ruler that has ever lived, gives focus to the truth that power corrupts and power contaminates. And boy, Belshazzar loved the power of being in rule. And he loved being in authority. And he loved having all these people bowed down and worshiping him. And he was going to make sure that these people were going to live a miserable life in subjection to him. They would be under his control and no one would dare or challenge him. You know, the mighty rulers still pose a problem today. They love the rule, they love the power, they love the gravitas that comes along with authority. Unjust, ungodly men who have no interest in the work or in the word of God. The invincible rulers was one barrier, but I want you to see there was another barrier. There were the insurmountable railings. Verse 1 talks about the gates. Verse 2 talks about the gates of brass and the bars of iron. These railings and these gates that would never have been opened, but only by the command of the king. And so how would Cyrus, an outsider, but the one whom God had appointed to issue the decree and bring these people out, how was Cyrus going to do this? How was one man going to break those bars and those gates that would allow the people to be released from their captivity? Essentially, they were in an open prison. They felt hemmed in, and they felt held in. These gates, these railings, every time they looked at it, it was a reminder, you're in bondage, you're in captivity here. Perhaps this morning you feel held in, you feel hostage to your circumstances and to your surroundings. And those railings exercise power and hold power over you. And it seems that there's no way that they can be broken. There's another barrier here that I want us to notice in these verses. Not only the invincible rulers, not only the insurmountable railings, but also notice, as we come into verse 2, there are the inflexible roads. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. The crooked places. Those pathways that are crooked and difficult and hard, and it seems they can't be straightened out. They are inflexible and they are unchangeable. You ever walk down crooked pathways? Ever been in crooked places? The word crooked there means hilly. It seems that you're walking uphill all the time. There's nothing smooth or straight about it. Dear believer, this morning, we need to remind ourselves that when the Lord saved us, He never promised us that life would be easy. When the Lord called us out of darkness, He didn't promise us that life would be a bed of roses. He didn't say that we would be immune to the afflictions and the problems of life, which are the common lot of all people. He never promised us that you get saved and all your troubles will be over, not at all. The hymn writer said that God hath not promised skies always blue and flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. And God hath not promised smooth roads and wide and swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky or steep, never a turbid, rocky and deep. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor and light for the way, grace for the trials and help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. You see, as we walk through those hard and difficult times in our life, we walk through those crooked places, God has promised to be with us. We will experience hardships. And there will be pain. But you see, through every twist and turn of life that you have to walk through, the Lord walks with you. Do you know the reality is that if the Lord didn't walk with us, we would never get through. If the Lord didn't walk with us as we go through those inflexible roads, those crooked pathways, we would never make it on our own. And sometimes it's not until we're in that very dark place, that very difficult place, that we realize just how needful we are of the Lord. I don't know how others get through who do not know Christ as their Savior. We live in a world today, a world of pain, a world where people are in anguish, but they don't know the Lord. How do they get through? Praise God today that when we walk through those dark and difficult days and we encounter those powerful barriers in our life, we have a friend who walks with us. The powerful barriers. But I want us to see, secondly here, not only the powerful barriers, but secondly, I want you to see now the promised blessings. The situation was bleak. And the outlook wasn't great, and the task seemed impossible. But look again at verse 1. Take your Bible. Keep your Bible open as we preach. Look at it. It keeps the preacher honest. What does the Lord say? I will, verse 1, loose the loins of kings. Verse 2, I will go before thee. I will break in pieces. Verse 3, I will. You see, with God, all things are possible. God promised blessings for these people. God promised that He was going to bring them out of their tight spot. Their future was bright because of the One who is the great I Am. Do you know, before we go in to look at this verse, there's something I want you to notice. And I want you, if you can, by your mind's eye, to picture yourself there in Babylon, in a heathen place, in a place where it wasn't favorable to be a Christian or to love the Word of God or to serve God, where you had wicked, ungodly rulers. Life was hard. And you were surrounded by the gates that reminded you just how held you were. What was it that was going to make the difference in the minds and hearts of these people? It was the Lord. Who was going to bring these people to a better place, to a brighter future? It was the Lord. And you see, as you read through verses 1 through to 4, we've got to remind ourselves that again, the Lord was working for these people. He says, I will, I will, I will. Dear Christian, this morning, remember, God is always at work in your heart and life. Now, oftentimes we don't see it. Oftentimes we're not aware of it. We're not conscious of it. But God is always working in your life. In your tight spot, perhaps right now, God is working in your life. And He's always working for you. It might seem that things are stacked against you. It might seem that circumstances are working against you. Yet God is working for you today. And God is going to take care of every detail of your life and mine. He's interested. He's interested in you. He's interested in every part of your life, and He will take care of every part of your life. What was it that was going to change the mindset and the mood of these people in bondage? What is it that's going to transform your life and my life? It's when we see the hand of God at work in our lives. When you see that God is working, and you see that God is working for you. Oh, look past everything else. Look past those things that would cause you to be despairing. And remember, God is working in your life, and that He works all things together for good. Look at those promised blessings. Take your Bible again. Look at verse 1. There's a promise, first of all, of power. I will loose the loins of kings. The Lord says, mighty Belshazzar, I'm going to bring him down. And he was only going to be a grasshopper in the sight of an all-powerful God. And God says, I'll render their power void. I'll render them useless and powerless. He was going to disarm them of their power and of their strength. And he says, look at those strong cities. Look at those bars. Look at those gates. God says, I'm going to break them. Breaking those gates, you will walk out free. And your captivity will be over. God says today, I will tear down the strongholds of man. God is still able to do it. God can still break in pieces the bars of opposition that Satan would seek to bring up to us. Our God is still able today. That little chorus that we often sing in Sunday school and on a Tuesday night, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Listen, there's nothing my God cannot do. Praise God, he's able. He's able. And dear Christian, this morning, God is still able to bring you through. Still able to break those bars of your bondage and your captivity that seem to overpower you. He's going to bring you through. Because remember this, your problems are never permanent. They may seem like that at this time. The great Puritan Thomas Watson said that afflictions may be lasting, but they are never everlasting. There's the promise of his power, but there's also the promise of his presence. Verse 2, I will go before thee. We've already said it's a wonderful truth to know that the Lord walks with us. From the moment of our conversion, from the moment you're saved, dear Christian, his presence is always with you. But notice something more precious in verse 2. He not only walks with us, but he goes before us. Not one of us knows what this week will hold for any one of us. But the Lord's already in that week. The Lord's already gone before us into this week that lies before in his will. He's already gone to smooth out those crooked pathways. The promise that the Lord gave to the people, the children of Israel, as Moses, his time on this earth, his time of leadership was over. Joshua was taking over. What did he say? What did he say to a faint-hearted people? He said, in the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. I will be with thee. And as we go into this new week with all of its unknowns and its uncertainties, the Lord's already gone before us. There's the promise of his power, the promise of his presence. But notice as well in verse 3, there's the promise of his provision. And I will give thee. I will give thee. God will provide. He truly is Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees, the God who will provide. I will give thee. And through your darkness, dear believer, God will give you. God will provide for you. What was he going to provide for them? Look at verse 3. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. The treasures of darkness. It's a beautiful phrase. Well, surely when you think about darkness and dark places and secret places, well, there's not very much to be found in those places. Nothing very pleasant to be found in the darkness. But the Lord says, I am going to give you treasures in the darkness that you didn't see in the light. And sometimes it's not until we're in a dark place that we really see all the treasures that we have. He's not talking here about riches, about money or gold. He's not talking here about anything that this world could give him. He's talking about spiritual blessings. Sometimes it's not until we're in that dark place that we really see how blessed we are spiritually. It's not until we're in that tight spot, in that difficult place, that we'll fully discover the treasures, all the treasures, the spiritual blessings that God has in store for us. Do you know, one of the greatest treasures I believe we can discover in the dark times is just how precious Christ is to us. I want you to cast a mind over your life to this moment. And I dare say that it was those times when you felt you were in such a difficult, hard place. It was at those times when Christ was more precious to you than ever before. And in the darkness of your situation, and in the hardness of your situation, you found those treasures, those riches that you have in Christ. God in His plan for your life may call you to journey through times of darkness. But listen, it's never a wasted journey. Because through those times we discover the real pearl of great price. What is that? That's Christ Himself. And He becomes ever more precious to us. The word treasures there signify not only something singular, but obviously something plural. An incalculable amount. And you see, whenever we get a fresh view of Christ and we realize just how much Christ loves us, as we pass through those hard and difficult times, what treasures? Treasures of mercy and pardon and peace. Things that perhaps we just took for granted. When the sun was shining and everything was going well. Treasures of darkness, which are found alone in the One who is the light in the darkness. Who's that? It's Christ. In the city of Brussels, there are lace shops. Little shops that are given over to the weaving of fine, delicate, and very expensive lace, which is sold to the rich and the famous of this world. And in those shops, there are certain rooms that are devoted to the spinning of the most finest and the most beautiful of patterns. But those rooms are darkened, save for a shaft of light which shines through a little window. And that light shines on the pattern. And in those rooms, the spinner, the weaver, he's in the darkness himself. He's there by himself. And the only light that is shining, the little light that is shining, is upon the pattern that he is weaving. And there he sits, weaving, bringing together that pattern. Why? Because the lace is always more delicately and beautifully woven when the worker himself is in the dark. And the pattern is the only light that he has. He's following the pattern in the darkness. Who is our pattern? Who do we follow? It's Christ. And oftentimes we're in the dark and we cannot understand what God is doing. And yet as we remain faithful, we fail not, we faint not. We're in the dark. Praise God, one day we'll look back and realize it was in the dark days that the most beautiful parts of our life was woven. We see his appeal, we see his ability. Do you know, folks, today as we look at the work of God, we consider the future of the work of God. We bring it locally here to the local church, to ourselves here in Sandown. We look at this community. We look at the vast number of people and homes and houses there are around this community, and how many times they've been invited. How many conversations have been had. And today it seems there are many powerful barriers, powerful gates that would seemingly hinder and hold back the work of God. The gates of human impossibilities. The gates of rampant indifference, the gates of secular influences. It seems we're all in the dark, but thank God the Lord is able to break through those darkness. The Lord is able to break down those barriers that seem such a hindrance and such an obstacle to the work of God. Because remember this is His work. This is His church. We are His people. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We must move, and finally we close here. We see not only the powerful barriers, we see the promised blessings, but we see finally then the precious bond. Look at verse number 3. I will give thee the treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have called thee by thy name. Is there not a precious bond spoken of there? That precious bond between the believer Savior. You're His child today. You belong to Him. Do you see how precious you are to the Lord? You maybe think today nobody cares about me. Nobody's interested in me. Nobody has much time for me. Listen. You're precious to the Savior. In His eyes, you are someone of great value and worth. He chose you, He loved you, He redeemed you, He gave on the cross His blood to ransom you from sin. He came into this world to save you. What a precious bond today we have in Christ. We are here because of His love toward us, not because of anything we have done for Him. We are here because He died on the cross to save us from our sin. What a precious bond. Christ gave His life for you. He might save you, bring you through. Dear believer, as you pass through your earthly pilgrimage, He's going to take care of you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to provide for you. And He's going to bring you through. Perhaps this morning, you sit in this place, your mind's in a spin. And you don't know how, in your own situation, perhaps at this time, how you're going to work things out. There are so many problems, so many barriers, so many gates of brass and bars of iron that would seem to hold you. Listen to what the Lord says. I will break in pieces those gates, cutting sunder those bars. God is working for you. And He will bring you through. He hasn't saved you to forget about you. He cares for you. He loves you. And He has promised to be with you. God was going to work for these people. He was going to break their bars. He was going to bring them out of their difficulty. He was going to bring them out of their tight spot. Is the Lord not going to do the same for you, dear Christian? His love toward His people has not changed and never will. His care for us has not changed and never will. Therefore, keep on believing. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. God will bring you through. I don't know how, but God will bring you through as He works for you. I wonder today, do you know Him as your Savior? As we close this morning, can you say, this is my Savior, this is my friend? Has there been that time in your life when you've come to Christ and salvation, realized you are a sinner? Realize Christ is the only one who can save you. If not, why not come to Him today? He is the best friend you will ever have. He is a friend who sticketh closer than any brother. He'll work for you. He'll care for you. He will provide for you. There may be many things against us today, but God is for us. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Pray, O God, You'll be pleased to write Thy word upon our hearts. Speak, Lord, into the inner recesses of our beings today. May Thy word find a resting place in all of our hearts. So be with us and give us help. Savior's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to close with the singing of